This again. Good morning. All right, great, great. Hey, if you're a visitor here this morning, we're pretty excited you're here. If you've been two or three times, we're still excited you're here. And if you've been here for several years, we're still excited you're here. Hey, I want to go to the next slide, and I just want to celebrate here. We got within 963, this is for members only, 963.13 of the 31, which is great. And I know that we paid our bills this month because we've been cutting down, and so I'm sure that made it. But that's the best we've done since we've been in here, and I think we need to give ourselves an applause. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to give, because we know that you gave your son, Jesus Christ, and you said it was an incredible gift. That's what Paul said. Thank God for his incredible gift. And, you know, we look at that, Lord, and we just thank you that we can give of ourselves because it's so good for us to give. It's so good for us to give ourselves in service and love to others and even in our resources, Lord. And we just pray that for the gift and giver, and that this will be a sweet-smelling savor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, while the offering's being taken, I want to have Bobby come up. Okay. Really, what I should do, Bobby, is get a chair and sit down. She's short. Yeah.
I just want to make an announcement about our MOPS group. Our new MOPS group starts in 1 month here at Harvest. That's for mothers of preschoolers. We are still open to taking new registrations, but that deadline is September 20th. So there are registration forms out in the lobby. If you're even just interested in finding out more about MOPS, fill one out and turn one in, and we will be in touch.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Bobby. You know, when we first had kids, we had four kids in 5 years. And so, you know, at one point we had three babies we were changing diapers on. It was like for about 7 month period, it was like I'd come home and my wife had rings under her eyes and she'd be totally worn out, and I'd take over the assembly line. You know, I ran it like a production plant because I was a production manager at the time. And, you know, I look at that and I think, man, I wish there was a MOPS for men, because I'd send her out on Saturdays to just go shop and get away from the kids because she needed a break so bad. And then I think, okay, wait a minute, I got the kids. So I would have loved to have something like that. So if you're a lady and you have preschoolers, that's a real tough time. And you know it, and this is a great time to get together. Bobby and Deborah are going to be heading that up, and it should be a lot of fun. So sign up for that, because the sign-up's almost over, and you're going to love doing it. Next one is membership class. We have a membership class coming up next week at 9:30 in the morning, and that's going to be the Get to Know Harvest, what Harvest is about. So if you're wondering what we believe and who's who and all that kind of thing, then Bobby and Marv are going to be sharing that with you, and that'll be September 13th. Then on September 20th, we're going to start a new toolbox, a new Christian toolbox, and that's going to be also at 9:30, so we just start from the beginning, and we help you through. So if you're fairly new to the Christian life, or you really haven't understood it very well, this is for you. The next one is GSOM, Gray School of Ministry. We have a college in this church, and the schedule's ready to go. I have some schedules here. I have some out on the desk. And if you want to learn your Bible, learn theology, learn a little Greek, if you want to learn beginning Greek or advanced Greek, and a few other things, just look in there. Bobby's going to do one on canonicity, how we got our canon in the Bible, how the Bible came to be the Bible, and so on. We are able to give out associate degrees, bachelor's degree, master's degree, and I think St. Louis is just starting into the PhD field. So if that has interest you, and what we try to do with the students is put them on the track that's specific to them. So let's say you want to be a children's ministry leader, or you want to be a superintendent of something, then we will put the education to help you get to that specific place where you're gifted in. So give that some thought. Next one is nursery and preschool. We still need help in nursery and preschool. What our goal is to have you go and serve one time, one service, and be able to come into the service on the other, so you don't feel like you're missing anything. And so If we can get enough volunteers in there, then that'll work really well, and then that way you serve. And let me tell you something about serving. Paul says, love one another, and then he says, serve one another. And, you know, I think I had talked last week about how we had this funeral with so many people. Do you remember that? I was talking about how we had about 450 people, and we just didn't realize all the work that was going to go into it, because the family said 300 to 400, and it ended up being, then the son said 400 to 500, and then for sure enough, it was about 400, probably 450 people, and we worked hard. I think we probably put in 150 man hours to make that work, because we had to clean up the church, have the funeral, get done, clean up the church again. So it was twice. Now, I'm saying this because Paul says, serve. And if we serve one another, it's probably the best thing we can do. And, you know, through all that, I really felt like last week maybe I gave more of a negative aspect. I had a blast. Now, you know, the problem is that sometimes we kind of feel like, hey, if we have to really work hard, somehow we'll be taken advantage of, or nobody's recognizing us enough or whatever. But here's the thing, the scripture tells us, serve one another. And so you're going to be in a happier place if you serve. I'm not trying to get you so you can help Harvest survive. That's not my goal. My goal is Harvest is going to survive. The question is, would you like to get into the fun and serve? That's the question. And we're giving you some spots to do that. Next one is man-to-man. This Tuesday, we're going to start up our men's group again. And we've called it man-to-man, iron sharpens iron, and we're going to get together at 7, and it's going to be a little bit of the group, but also a little bit of steering. And Damon, you're there. There you are. Can you raise your hand? Damon's going to be the host, and he and Clyde and I are going to get together. We're going to start that group back up. Now, our man-to-man is the same thing as Las Vegas, all right? What happens there stays there, okay? We're going to talk about men issues. In MOPS, you talk about women's issues or some of the ladies' Bible studies. But here, men are going to talk about men things and the things that we struggle with. So if you'd like to come out Tuesday at 7, that's it. All right. I think that's about it. Okay. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. I was putting together a sermon this week, and when I got done, I had almost twice as many pages as I should for doing a sermon. And so I cut it in half. So you're getting part one today. And we're going to be taking a look at Paul. Paul is saying some pretty unique things to us. And I'm going to do this, but you have to come back next week to finish the conclusion of the sermon, okay? Now, if you don't show, we'll have it on the website, and you can download it and listen to it. But I think you'll feel gypped if you only hear today. All right. So let's go right to the scriptures. We got a lot to cover today. And this I pray for the purpose that your love may abound or exceed still more and more in knowledge. And you remember that spiritually understood knowledge and all discernment, wise decision making, wise discernment, that you may test and approve. I know it says approve, but it means test and approve the things that are excellent or really more specifically, the things that differ. And we talked about that last week. Then we come to the verse, the second half of 10 today, that you may be sincere, that you may be unmixed, that you may be pure, that you may be judged by the sunlight, and I'll talk about that, and without offense or with not stumbling till the day of Christ. Boy, doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't you like to just have Paul pray for you and then you never sin again? Boy, that sounds good. And that's what God is after. Whether we'll follow through with that's another story. So there are two things that Paul says. Number one is that we need to grow in our love. And the second thing is we need to test and approve the things that differ for the purpose. This is the prayer. For the purpose that we be sincere and not stumble until the day that Christ comes back to get us when it won't happen anymore. Can you wait? I can hardly wait for that. You know, when we say the word sincere in English, it means that you're being honest and truthful and earnest and sometimes deeply felt. And then in our society, it's an attempt for people to believe that we are honest and truthful and earnest and sincere. You know, like on this letter that I sent out a while back, sincerely yours, Now, why do we put sincerely or sincerely yours? Because we want people to know we're in earnest, that we really mean it, and so we sign it that way. Well, here's what sincerely really means, and it comes from a biblical path, or it comes from the time of Jesus and Paul, when they in the marketplace they sold pottery, and you know, nowadays it's mass made. Mass production, and so, you know, if they have a run that's bad, they throw it away and they keep going. But in those days, everything was hand done. It took time. It was on a spinning wheel that they used with their foot, that kind of thing. And so dishes were pretty valuable, especially to those who made them. And the word refers to a vase, a quality vase that holds hot and cold liquids and does what it's supposed to do without fail. But the bummer is that in those days, they didn't have thermometers, and they didn't have little cones to shut off the machine when it was done. And so, you know, now Debbie paints china, and she paints portraits on porcelain and that kind of thing. And I've watched her, as soon as she went to her first china painting class, I knew this was going to be the thing that she would do. I went right out and bought a kiln for her. And in today's modern day, they have little cones. They're just cone shape, and they fit between two little pieces of metal. And you stick the cone in the two pieces of metal, and when the heat gets to the right temperature, the cone melts. It drops the rod, and it turns off the machine. Okay, and so you can have a perfect pot or dish or whatever you're doing these days. But I remember one day when she put in the cone and she had a portrait in there and she had a few other things that were pretty valuable to her, and the cone didn't melt when it was supposed to. And she went down and the machine's still on, and she realized it and she shut it off, and we waited till it cooled off, and we opened up the kiln. It was one of those top open, and there's the dishes all curved. And all the stuff that she had painted was gone, and she had put weeks into this one picture that she was doing, and she was so brokenhearted. And I looked at that, and I thought, man, can you imagine in Jesus' time how much that occurred? Because you had to be good. I mean, I don't know if you stood back from the kiln and felt the fire and thought, okay, it's hot enough. You know what I mean? Some people can intuitively know those kind of things. And so what would happen a lot is that they would, when they made their vases, they would crack. A lot of times it would be a hair crack because it would get too cold too fast when they pull that. Because you see, in the kilns now, they just slowly cool off, and so it works pretty well. Then they had to pull it out of the fire, and so there was no way to cool it down in a slow level. And so sometimes they pull it out of the fire a little too far, and you get this little thin crack. So what they would do is they would rub clear wax into that crack. Because you're talking somebody spent 4 to 5 to 6, maybe a full day making a vase, firing it, and then the crazy thing cracks, and there goes a whole day's worth of work. So they would put this wax in, and they'd fill it up, and then they're hoping that the potential customer wouldn't see it. And if the crack was lower, what they'd do is they'd put in the wax, and then they'd fill it up with cold water and set it out there so they knew it held water. But what happens when you put warm water with wax? Out she goes. So the problem is that the vessel was not sincere. That's where we get our word. It wasn't sincere. It had a crack. It was mixed wax with the elements of the vase. And so Paul is saying here that the purpose of his prayer is that we aren't a cracked vase. Because we are a vessel for God, and so God says, say no to crack. Right? I mean, isn't that what he's saying? God was the inventor of that. Say no to crack. So let me give you some hopefully practical theology here that will help you with this. Turn with me to Romans 7:21. If you have your Bible, it will be up on the screen. Because it's easy in our world today to be insincere, isn't it? To be insincere. To be a vessel with wax in the cracks and trying to look good on the outside, but really the vessel isn't too hot. And maybe God's sunlight shows in you, and when it shows in you, Does it show crack? Does it show imperfections? And maybe you're a person who struggles with addictions and or an addiction, you know, alcoholism or drugs or whatever it may be. And this thing keeps rolling in over and over, and you keep purposing in your life, I'm going to live for God and I'm going to be sincere. And then pretty soon you're back struggling with this addiction. Or maybe it's brand new sin where it comes into your life and you think, oh my goodness, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Oh, it's only me? Oh, okay, all right. All right, yeah. All right. Well, God has an answer for you, and this answer contains no magic wand, no laying off on hands and you're healed and you won't sin anymore. It doesn't work that way, does it? We find in the Christian life we keep stepping in the doo-doo, so to speak, and we think, why do we do that when we're a Christian? So let's look at Romans 7, verse 21, and we'll start out. I find then a law. Now, I want to change that to rule, because in our society, we talk about rules more. We don't really talk about laws so much other than speeding and that kind of thing, breaking the law. But typically, we talk about rules. And so Paul's talking about rule here. He says, I find then a rule that evil is present with me, the one who wills or wishes or wants to do good. Do you ever find that in your life? That you want to do good, but there's always some kind of creepy evil. Are you here? Okay, all right, all right. You find that sense of evil that is present, and you know it's hanging around, and there's times when I think, you know, I feel that evil or an evil thought starts to come, and I think, come on. Now, let me give you an example of that. I think this will help. They did a survey recently, and I thought the survey was kind of funny. It's not funny, but it's funny. Anyhow, they surveyed people who come and listen to sermons, okay? And so into 20 minutes after the sermon was over, they were supposed to write down what they were thinking about. And so the highest score was 50%. And what do you think people were thinking about at 50% after 20 minutes of a boring sermon? Huh? Lunch. No. No, they were thinking about sexual fantasies. 50% of the Christians listening to sermons were thinking about sexual fantasies at the time. And then it went down from there. You know, our body lusts and desires, but I think probably 40 or 30 was thinking about lunch. That's probably true, too. Because our body lusts and it desires and it drives us to distraction. And I think I can give you a little bit of hope today in this and hope next week. But hopefully, as I explain this, it won't take 20 minutes. All right? Okay. 22. For I delight, I pleasure, I enjoy, I have gladness in the law of God according to the inward, the inside man. Now, let me ask you a question as a Christian. Do you glory in the things of God? Yeah. In your mind, I want to serve God. I want to do what he wants me to do, that kind of thing. And so Paul's saying, I delight in God. And the question is, do we delight in God? Yes, I think we do. Our minds love the idea of serving God, of being a Christian. But then he gets to verse 23, he says, but I see another rule in my members. And when Paul uses members, he means limbs or different parts of the body. But I see another rule in my members, warring or soldiering or making war against the rule of my mind and bringing me into captivity or capturing me to the law of sin, which is in my members. Okay, so the bottom line is Paul's saying in our body, in our members, we have sin resides there and our body tends to choke us and push us towards sin of the mind. Now, we desire to follow what God says, and even sometimes we attempt to legalize it, right? Let me give you an example. I always liked reading about Old Testament saints, okay? And I'd read about one, and I think, oh, you know what? I need to start getting up like them at 4:30 in the morning, and getting on my knees and praying and reading my Bible and then going on to my production job or whatever it is. So I would do that. So I set my alarm for 4:30 in the morning, and I think, man, by 1 month from now, I am really going to be spiritual, right? Are you with me? Have you ever done that kind of thing? Okay, and so I set my alarm, and so I'll be sleeping, and all of a sudden the alarm goes off, and I'll reach over and hit the button, and my mind will say, get up, right? But my body's saying, no, no, stay in bed. You need the sleep. You're a production worker. You need to keep sleeping because you're going to need all the sleep you could get because it's going to be a hard day. And I think, but no, I want to get up. And pretty soon the alarm goes off again. You reach over and hit the alarm again. You think, get up. Just get up. Have you experienced that? I mean, that kind of represents our whole life. Yeah, but the reality is, and this is what Christ said. Now, picture me with Christ. Christ is in the garden and he's praying and he's sweating, and it's his sweat almost as a blood because he's about to be captured and beaten and crucified, and the disciples are oversleeping. He's told them it's going to happen and they've fallen asleep. And he comes over and he wakes them up and says, pray with me, you know, for this is the night, you know. And he walks away and they're you know, trying to keep it open, and pretty soon they're asleep. And he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he concludes with this, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he's thinking because he's coming back. Think about that for a minute. He's coming back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, we're not going to fight the body anymore. We are not going to fight the body anymore. Does that sound good to you? Man, I mean, it sounds great to me. And you know what? It sounds great to our body because our body is always trying to be satisfied. I think our body wants to have heaven now. But the body is not redeemed. It's not bought back, Paul says. It's not regenerated. And so he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, that doesn't mean that he always just falls into the law of sin. That's not it. It's that the sin from the body wants to capture him and keep him captive. But his mind isn't that way. And next week, we're going to really expose that. And like I say, our mind is redeemed. We're saved. But our body is still captured in sin. And we're going to wait. And let me just read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now listen, that's what Paul says he does. He brings every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's not letting our flesh dictate to you and I what we're going to do. In fact, he even says in Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, isn't it interesting that you didn't say present your minds? Because we're willing. And if you're like me, you go through life continually trying to figure out how to sacrifice to God, to be fully committed, and so on. But our bodies get in the way. Holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Scripture says, renewing our mind day by day. Renewing our mind. You know, for part A of two sermons, I want to say this. that we, man, I totally lost my train of thought. That we need to transform our mind. We need to dwell on God's word. I don't know why I forgot that. Transform our mind and therefore not allow our body to rule our judgment. Does that make sense? Now let me give you an example of this. This will make you laugh, and it's kind of a stupid example, but it is real for me. And last week, Deb made some cinnamon rolls, and she baked them in the oven and put them out into the coffee bar. And she brought some in to, I was having a discipleship with a couple guys, and so she brought them in. She says, taste these and see if they're okay. And so we ate them. They were good. You know, and if you've had, they're out there today, and there may be a run on them today, you know, but they were really good. And so I'm sitting working on this sermon, and I'm getting close to the end, and all of a sudden I have that body moment which says, you really deserve something sweet, right? You really deserve something sweet. You deserve a reward because you put in all this time into the servant, and now you need a reward. And so I'm thinking, man, I wonder if there was any cinnamon rolls left, and there's one in the freezer that I could take out and put in the microwave and heat up and eat. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, wait a minute here. I've been studying this, and this isn't just about a cinnamon roll. It's about me and the evil one. Are you following me? Now, I want to tell you, because everybody asked permission if they could get a cinnamon roll on the last sermon after the sermon was over. So I'm just telling you, cinnamon roll's not bad. Okay. But for me, that day, it was, because I knew it represented a lot more than a cinnamon roll. And so I was thinking about it, and I thought, no, Steve, just go back to the sermon and finish writing. You don't deserve something because you put together a sermon. But that's our body's capture, isn't it? You deserve pleasure. You deserve all these kind of things. And it moves us to sin. And so I sat there and I said, no, I'm not going to have the cinnamon roll. I'm just going to finish this. And then all of a sudden, it was this overwhelming feeling that I had to find a cinnamon roll. It was incredible. And I thought, stop it. I don't need a cinnamon roll. And then it disappeared. And I went through and I didn't even think anymore about getting it. And I think, what was it? It was the body dictating to me what I need. But I happened to be renewing my mind at the time in the scriptures. And so my mind was changed and I was able to say no, and nothing's wrong with a cinnamon roll. That's okay. I knew I was in a battle with the evil one. I just knew I was in the battle. I had to bring it into captivity, the thoughts. I had to sacrifice my body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It wasn't easy, but it was successful. And you know, for a couple days, I know this sounds funny to you, but for a couple days, I celebrated the fact that I let my mind win over my body. Do you know what I'm saying? When you make those right decisions, and that was just the right decision for me. And the question I have this morning is, what about you? Are you sitting there losing the battle, or are you gaining the battle? You know, I want to just read this verse in closing from Romans chapter 8, verse 23, so that you can go home with something to think about. Verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You know, have you ever noticed that when you lean over, sometimes you go, and you pick something up and somebody goes, oh, you got a back problem? And you go, well, yeah, maybe. But you groaned and you don't know why you groaned. You know what I'm saying? And there's not even a reason to groan. It is because God built in us the sense of groaning because we are almost there, but our body's not there yet. Our minds are there, but our body's not yet there. And it says that we look forward to the adoption, the redemption of our body in that day when he comes back. And until then, we will groan because we want to be complete. Amen? We want to be complete in Him in that sense. And so the body keeps crying out, I want to be complete now. I want to be complete now. And we have to renew our minds day by day to remember where we are. And next week I'm going to talk about our freedom from sin. The freedom that we have, that we don't have to obey the body and its lusts at all. So where are you today? Where are you? Are you winning the battle? Are you losing the battle? Let's pray. Father, we just come this morning.